Sedition is defined specifically in U.S. law as a federal crime involving conspiracy to overthrow or destroy by force the government of the United States, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States. Seditious conspiracy is a specific crime that requires two or more persons conspiring to use force against the U.S. government or its laws.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is hard and that it's a difficult time to be a public servant.
But whether you're serving in the CIA,
the Army,
or Navy,
the Air Force,
your vigilance is critical.
And know that we have your back.
Because now, more than ever,
the American people need you.
Of course, absent from the Declaration, any specifics as to what those illegal orders actually are.
And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is their intent? What is the reason that they all went on a video and encouraged young men and women to defy court orders without even giving a hint of what's illegal, without even giving any suggestion of what law or what order they're being asked to violate?
To be clear, we are not calling on folks right now to debate, to disobey any type of unlawful order.
Have you, Congresswoman, or any other of these Democratic members of Congress heard directly from members of the U.S. military or the broader national security community who believe they've been given unlawful orders?
Well, you know, what I'd say is I have heard from service members, and this is all a matter of public record. What we see is an uptick of concern from the men and women who are serving in uniform about the legality of orders that are being given.
They would be violating their oath if they followed illegal orders.
And I guess, Senator, members of the military, what is your advice to them if they come across something that seems confusing?
I think they need to talk to their leadership, you know, talk to their commanding officer about it and tell your commanding officer why you think this may be illegal. There are lawyers within the military, the Judge Advocate General Corps. You can have a conversation, you know, with somebody who understands the law. You know, there's always the option of you review the UCMJ with your leadership and you explain to somebody why you think this may not be lawful.
After widespread discontent over unpaid wages, lack of food and clothing erupted into open revolt, yes, George Washington, as commander-in-chief during the Revolutionary War, authorized the execution of his own soldiers for sedition in 1781. However, no one in U.S. history has ever been executed by hanging or any other means solely for sedition or seditious conspiracy under federal law. Historical cases involving the executions of John Brown in 1859, Mary Surratt in 1865, and William Bruce Mumford in 1862 were prosecuted under different charges, like treason or martial law violations. Neither the 1798 or 1918 Sedition Acts, the 1940 Smith Act, nor the current federal seditious conspiracy statute, 18 U.S. Code 2384, has ever carried the death penalty. The current maximum penalty for seditious conspiracy is 20 years in prison, and that is what needs to be pursued without fail, or there is no executive office of the United States going forward. Throughout American history, six presidents have presided over the federal prosecution and imprisonment of individuals for sedition or seditious conspiracy. John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, George W. Bush, and Joe Biden, whose Justice Department convicted at least 18 Oath Keepers and Proud Boy leaders for their roles in January 6th, the most extensive use of the seditious conspiracy statute since World War II. And then there is the turbo sedition waged against President Trump for the past decade. The FBI's Russiagate investigation was branded a seditious conspiracy. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
I know y'all are tired of me talking about this, but let's talk about methylene blue.
Methylene blue?
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
I have shared the methylene blue with my crew.
Buy it before it's banned, because I just found another use for it after the bloody wart. It removed my face. I fell down the other day and scraped up my leg, and I added some of the liquid stuff here, the methylene blue, stopped the bleeding. Alleviated the pain, and then I put a Band-Aid over it. Now it's healed up on, you know, faster. So they don't buy it before it's banned, y'all.
That's crazy. I love how everybody in the InfoWars audience just buys methylene blue and just starts doing science experiments.
Well, it's known that it has topical applications to it, right? And you talk about the wart, other people have talked about, you know, like maybe stomach issues here and there, other things. It has antimicrobial properties, but only really to gram-negative bacteria. So only really the bad things involved.
So there you go.
One more thing, y'all. I haven't slept 8 hours without urinating since I was like 20. This stuff is you know I can go. I don't have to go every 5 minutes. I'm like a 20-year-old as far as my prostate goes.
Very interesting. Thank you for the call, Bart.
I'm really proud of the Alex Jones store. You know, when Bigley came in at first, I didn't really know what to think of it, but I saw the products they came out with, and they're willing to work with me, and I really got to have fun with them, and I got to bring some cool things to market, like Methyl Drive and Power Plant specifically, I'm very proud of. You know, it's been a blast to get to work with Bigley. They work with some of the best supplement manufacturers in the country, and what I've been able to do with them is I've really been able to come out with a lot of these new blends that really are effective for people and have efficacious doses without the blend, without the fillers, without kind of, you know, lower quality mixtures used to getting at certain places. It's been really incredible to work with Bigley.
Again, thank you so much. Check out the AlexJonesStore.com today, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at this.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're going to need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
Is supportive of the Department of War's investigation into Senator Mark Kelly. And I think what Senator Mark Kelly was actually trying to do was intimidate the 1.3 million active duty service members who are currently serving in our United States Armed Forces with that video that he and his Democrat colleagues put out. Senator Mark Kelly well knows the rules of the military and the respect that one must have for the chain of command, and that all lawful orders are presumed to be legal by our service members. You can't have a functioning military if there is disorder and chaos within the ranks, and that's what these Democrat members were encouraging. It's very clear, and not a single one of them, since they've been pressed by the media, and I'll give you guys credit for that, can point to a single illegal order that this administration has given down, because it does not exist. They knew what they were doing in this video, and Senator Mark Kelly and all of them should be held accountable for that. No, because Lindsey Callaghan was legally appointed, and that's the administration's position. I know there was a judge who is clearly trying to shield Letitia James and James Comey from receiving accountability, and that's why they took this unprecedented action to throw away the indictments against these two individuals. But the Department of Justice will be appealing very soon, and it is our position that Lindsey Callaghan is extremely qualified for this position, but more importantly, was legally appointed to it.
Steve.
Yeah. So there are no plans at this moment in time. As you know, things can change very quickly around here, so we'll keep you all apprised, but there's no meeting scheduled right now. As for where we are, I spoke with Secretary Rubio at length. I spoke with the president as well. Everybody inside feels optimistic about what happened and transpired yesterday in Geneva. Secretary Rubio, Special Envoy Witkoff, the whole team really worked through the points of that 28-point peace plan that the United States authored with input from both sides, the Russians and the Ukrainians, and ultimately the vast majority of these points have been agreed upon. The Ukrainians have worked on language with us together, and you heard that from their delegation directly yesterday. So we feel as though we're in a very good place. Of course, we have to make sure that all of these points are agreed to, and then, of course, we're going to have to make sure the other party in this war, the Russians, agree to them as well. But I think the president deserves a great deal of credit for the amount of energy and effort he's put into trying to bring these two sides to an end of this war. He wants to see this killing stop. As for any deadlines, he wants to see this end as soon as possible.
Is the president more determined to go after Tish James and James Comey?
Go ahead.
Is the president more determined to go after Tish James and James Comey?
Excuse me. I'm answering a question from
you. You looked at me. I'm sorry.
I turned and looked at you because you're yelling. I will take a question from your colleague, and then I'll take your question,
thank
too.
You.
Okay? Go ahead.
What are exactly the points of this agreement that they are still working?
I don't want to detail sort of the technical talks that are happening right now, but there are just a couple, and we're confident that we'll be able to work through those. The president's been putting a lot of pressure on both leaders for this entire time. We've been talking with both sides. He's been talking to both leaders directly for 10 months now. So, yes, you can expect that pressure to continue. The president wants this war to end.
Caroline, is the president more determined now, since the judge's ruling today, to go after James Comey and Tish James? And if so, why?
I wouldn't say he's going after them. I think the president is more determined than ever to see accountability in this country, yes, and to correct the wrongs of the weaponization of our justice system that we saw under the previous administration and Joe Biden.
Are we entering a new phase of Venezuela, and what does that entail?
Well, as the president is so good at, I'll try to be just as good. I'm not going to broadcast any actions that may or may not be happening with respect to Venezuela. I know I've been very clear about the administration's position, as has the president and his national security team. We view the Maduro regime as being illegitimate, and the president has been very satisfied with the successful strikes against narco-terrorists and foreign terrorists that are illegally trafficking drugs towards the United States of America. He's not going to tolerate that, and you can expect to see those strikes continue.
Is there any immediate reaction?
What was President Trump's reaction to those indictments against Comey and James Spain thrown out?
His reaction was, we've seen this before. We've seen partisan judges take unprecedented steps to try to intervene in accountability before, but we're not going to give up. And I know that the Department of Justice intends to appeal these rulings very soon, if they haven't already. I may have missed it.
Well, Caroline, one question on Venezuela. Is there any plan, meeting for this week on Venezuela? And another one, a clarification on this weekend, because the president was asked about the former Brazilian president being arrested, and he mentioned that he spoke with this gentleman. Did he speak with Bolsonaro the day before he was arrested?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know if that call took place or not. It may have. I can get you a firm answer on that, Raquel. I know it's of great importance to you for your reporting. As for meetings on Venezuela, there's meetings on a range of topics inside this building all of the time. And the president is constantly apprised of what's going on in the world, what's going on in the news, and he's very well read into all of the things that his team are working on.
You would not go into the sticking points of the disagreement between the two parties in the Ukraine peace process, but how flexible is the president in coming to a deal, and will the Europeans be part of a final negotiation process?
I think he's been quite flexible already. We've been watching this war go on for 10 months. He's talked to both leaders countless times. Our team has engaged with both the Russians and the Ukrainians extensively. As I said, there is a sense of urgency. The president wants to see this deal come together, and he wants to see this war end.
I wanted to ask you, is it MAGA to support American workers being replaced with H-1B visa holders? Are Americans not capable of filling most of these positions?
Who supports getting American workers getting replaced?
I know the president mentioned that he wanted to bring in some workers that he could eventually send back in regards to...
The president does not support American workers being replaced. You are mischaracterizing what the president said. The president wants to see our American manufacturing industry be revitalized better than ever before. That's part of what he's doing with his effective use of tariffs and cutting good trade deals around the world. That's why he's recruited trillions and trillions of dollars in investments into our country. Those are creating good-paying American jobs right here at home. As for the H-1B visa issue, the president has a very nuanced and common sense opinion on this issue. He wants to see if foreign companies are investing trillions of dollars in the United States of America, and they're bringing foreign workers with them to create very niche things like batteries. He wants to see that at the beginning to get those manufacturing facilities and those factories up and running. But ultimately, the president always wants to see American workers in those jobs. And he's told these foreign companies that are investing here, you better be hiring my people if you're going to be doing business in the United States. So there's been a lot of misunderstanding of the president's position. Michael.
Is President Trump asking for Xi Jinping's help in putting pressure on Putin to help end the war?
I won't get into the details of the conversation this morning other than what the president put out on Truth Social. He put out his own readout of that, and I will leave it to that. But I did speak with him about the call. It lasted about an hour, and it was a very positive call. The focus of the call was really Russia-Ukraine did come up, but the focus was mainly on the trade deal that we are working on with China and those relations and how they are moving in a positive direction. The president also addressed our farmers, and we are pleased with what we've seen from the Chinese, and they feel the same way. And the president and President Xi discussed continuing to stay in correspondence following their very productive meeting in South Korea.
On Ukraine, does the progress that you just laid out change the Thanksgiving Day deadline for Ukraine to come to an agreement, or does the president still want something more definitive by Thursday? And then on the Comey and James case,
does the president still have confidence in Lindsey Elliott?
Absolutely, he does, to your second question. As for your first question, with respect to the deadline, the president wants to see this deal come together as quickly as possible, and he trusts that his team is doing everything they can to get it over the finish line.
Does the president support Israel's elimination of Hezbollah chief of staff Ali Taftai yesterday, and is he in favor of Israel blocking Hezbollah from growing again?
I haven't spoken to the president about that strike specifically, but of course the president supports Israel's right to defend itself and to take out any terrorist threats in the region. Jake?
If the president does announce a proposal to cut
I know there's been a lot of reporting on this from yourself as well, Jake, over the last few days. I will tell you that healthcare is a topic of discussion that's happening very frequently and robustly inside the West Wing right now. The president's very much involved in these talks, and he's very focused on unveiling a healthcare proposal that will fix the system and will bring down costs for consumers. As for the details of those discussions, I'll let the president speak for himself. As you all know, sometimes you report things, and then President Trump comes out with an announcement, and those things are not always true from what you hear from sources inside the building. So I'll let the president speak for himself. Sure, go ahead, Kara.
He told President Trump, he said he still believes he's a fascist and a despot after they had such a great meeting. Any comment from the White House on that?
I think talk is cheap, and I think that the president is going to judge Mamdani by his actions that he takes in New York. The meeting was positive, as you heard from the president last week, and I think the fact that the president is willing to meet with somebody who said those types of things about him shows that he really is interested in being a president for all Americans, regardless of where they live or who their leader is. He wants what's best for New York. He loves New York City. He helped build the skyline. He spent his whole life there, and so he really wants to see New York do well. And so that's how that meeting played last week.
Caroline.
John.
Thanks a lot, Caroline. Mm-hmm. There are a few Republican senators who are critical of the 28-point peace plan, including Senator Rounds, Senator Graham, Senator McConnell. What do you say to those senators who say that this is giving too much away to Russia? And has Russia made any concessions as it relates to a possible peace deal concerning ending the war in Ukraine?
I would point any critics to the words of the Ukrainians yesterday, in which they said that they feel very positive about this plan. They've been very involved. They have had direct input on the language of this plan, and that we are in direct communication and correspondence with them. Any idea, let me just finish with this, the idea that the United States of America is not engaging with both sides equally in this war to bring it to an end is a complete and total fallacy. And I saw a lot of misinformation and rumors and allegations against people in this building, such as Secretary Rubio and Special Envoy Wyckoff and the president himself, that they are favoring one side over the other. That could not be further from the truth. I have watched as the president and his team have worked around.
You're listening to The War Room with Kristan T. Harris, and we want to bring the best to you immediately, letting you guys know how you can support this broadcast. Head on down to check out some of the great deals we have at the Alex Jones store. Right now, we have our Black Friday spiel taking off. You can save some money on the currently on all supplements are currently buy one, get one free, as well as 25% off of all apparel. Today's broadcast, we're going to have a great show today. Drew Arnold will be joining us. We're going to be diving into the Epstein files, as well as Kristen, Megyn Kelly. We're going to talk about the division of the GOP and what's happening there. We also have Don Vi Jr. We're going to be diving into the Venezuela drug cartel issue, and we have Zoltan Istvan joining us. So it should be a great program today on today's broadcast, and it should be rather interesting because it all started quite a few years ago when I was covering the Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein trial, and I was doing some correspondence work, not just for the BBC, but for Alex Jones here at InfoWars and the guys here. From the front gates of the Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein trial, and we went through the whole 5 weeks together. So we have a lot to cover today. We're going to be diving in some data. Drew Arnold is a very interesting individual, and he's going to be diving into all of these house leaks that have been brought, all the data surrounding these emails, and pumping it into an AI system to bring us some results of some connections. And I think a lot of that will be going on and tying into what Alex was talking about earlier with all of these banker connections, the Israel connections with Epstein and a whole bunch more. That being said, it all kind of started with this question on clip one I asked of Thomas Massie. If you guys could go ahead and roll clip one.
Thomas Massie, what's some of the kickback you're getting back from your colleagues? There are some reasons why they don't want to endorse this.
Not right now. Okay.
They're being threatened. I mean, look, I've got $2 million of ads running against me back in my district, and it's funded by three billionaires. One of them's in Epstein's black book. I mean, this is what happens. Your consultants, your political consultants will abandon you when the White House gets mad at you. The Speaker will block all of your bills. They'll shut down your fundraising. This isn't political, but it is. I mean, the opposition to this is very political.
There was Thomas Massie answering a question I asked him a couple weeks ago at the press conference by the victims of Jeffrey Epstein about why his Republican constituents were not supporting a bill to free the Epstein files. And here we are, fast forward, and he monstered and muscled that bill, getting it passed and defeating the government and the establishment. Essentially, him, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Ro Khanna, these individuals have really taken on this battle, and we've been waiting patiently for these answers. It was Donald Trump that ran on the whole idea here that he's going to release all of these files. We're going to find out who these pedophiles are, who these scumbags are, who are degrading children and using it as extortion, and the people involved. But what is preventing this information from coming out? And who are the people that are at the center of this? Joining us here today is Drew Arnold. Drew Arnold is an expert AI developer. He's done some editing, amongst other things. He's worked for CGI with names like Beyonce and Kanye West. And I think I saw recently Lady Gaga was on his list of individuals he's worked with as far as CGI creation. Drew Arnold, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us today. Let's talk a little bit about what inspired you to go through this and what is it that you're doing? Because you're developing an AI system that scrapes the internet, but now can also scrape files and connect people together so we can see kind of a real-time data info spectrum of the layout of how these inner workings are going within these organizations and the connections of people. So let's start here. First of all, let our listeners know a little bit about you and what is it that you are doing?
Yeah, thanks, Kristan. So I come from a 3D animation background. I've worked in media, worked with Kanye, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, done a lot of really high-tech things from projection mapping, 3D scanning, motion capture, VR, AR, everything you can imagine. And for a long time, I've really kind of been quiet about my political interests, which have been sort of the intersection of power and everything you can't see. So, you know, I've read a lot of books. There's been a lot of investigations that have been done that you read about. And I've always wanted to connect the dots because you'll read one book, you'll read a news report, you'll read an investigative report, and they all kind of have different outlooks on things. And even though there's a lot of truth and a lot of citations, there's no way to connect the dots because it's too complicated for a book, too complicated for a documentary, too complicated for a website. So I wanted to bring what I was doing in 3D animation, and visualize what was happening in sort of the shadows or the penumbra of things that we might see. And, you know, up until recently, it wasn't even possible because a lot of it was manual data entry. You had to enter this stuff in by hand, which I wasn't going to do. I had better things to do with my time, and frankly, that wasn't going to make me any money. But now with the aid of AI...
It's pretty crazy, like, to think about, first of all, that we had a hand enter everything, and now everyone just uses AI to scrape the internet. But before we dive into all this, we're going to be heading to commercial break here. But Drew Arnold is our guest. We're going to be going into the deep cuts here with the Epstein files, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back from break. Don't go anywhere.
This is the biggest show we've ever run. It runs until Friday. Listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement you want free. So you can buy a supplement that's $20 and get one that's $40 for free. Did you hear that? That is insane. And there's a bunch of other specials running on top of it. We have an 80%+ reorder on these supplements. People love them so much. But I'm trying to get those of you out there that are on the fence, 99% of you, to go there and experience Iris CMOS. We got the strongest, best. Experience our turmeric. It's the best. The products are so good. Our ultramethylene blue, our Shilajit, our Iris CMOS, our spike protein, pro cardiovascular, super formula, ultimate life force. Experience it all. This is game-changing. Also, site-wide, 25% off on all apparel. All these new incredible designs of T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, Christmas designs, you name it. It's all there. We will continue to fight. We'll never give up or back down or sell out, but we could give out without your support. So I want to salute those that have supported and humbly ask those that haven't. Are we not the tip of the spear? Are we not changing the world? I need your support. Plus, these are great products. This is a win-win. So get in here right now. We need your help. They have appointed a state receiver to shut us down. We've basically exhausted everything in court. The receiver from the state court says he's going to try to have an auction, but we don't know. It could be 2 weeks from now, a month from now, but they say we should be closed by early January. Okay? Well, here's the deal. We have the Alex Jones Backup Network. That's funded by thealexjonesstore.com. But also, thealexjonesstore.com is funding InfoWars. Because if they have a real auction and the good guys are able to buy it, if they actually do that, unlike what happened in federal court, we'll stay here. It'll be great. So this is like we're on death row here. Do we get the reprieve again? So that's the struggles. That's why supporting us now at this critical moment is more important than ever. Plus, the products are insanely good. Just do your Christmas shopping early with us. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody that's going to buy anything should become a VIP. It's not even a commitment. You cancel anytime for free. You get $30 to be a VIP each month. $40 instantly each month to spend the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should be a VIP. You just get special offers and special deals and $40 for $30. So you make $10 on your first purchase right there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for your support.
Step right up and behold a creation so powerful, so potent, it could only come from my secret vitality factory. Shilajit Gummies. Packed with ancient minerals and super-infused goodness, these little squares of power will boost your day faster than a fizzy lifting drink. Need that spark of pure imagination? Pop one of these into your mouth and feel the natural energy flow right through you. Visit thealexjonesstore.com.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Our guest today is Drew Arnold. Drew Arnold is diving into the Epstein files with us. We're trying to get into the deep cuts about some of these links we're finding through the House leaks that were dropped by the Congressional House and the deep cuts on the Jeffrey Epstein, tying into people like Ehud Barak, Putin, Rothschilds, Peter Thiel, and a whole bunch more. Drew Arnold, thank you again for joining us today. And we were talking a little bit about what it is that you're doing, how AI can just scrape the internet, how back in the day you would have to enter all this data, but now AI can do a lot of the research for you. And let's continue on discussing the direction you were going with this and how you were able to actually get some of this data into the algorithms. And what we're trying to accomplish here is to develop a connection between all the people Epstein is associated with.
Yeah. So I've built kind of a forte on the back of being able to process data in a very specific way. And I've had some really interesting stories come out that show the entire chain of connection for the depopulation network, where Wuhan Labs got its start, how it got its funding, and what it turned into, everything from the beginning of Doge and who was actually behind it, not Elon Musk, and all kinds of other things. I mean, I think these stories are really interesting, and I really wanted to apply the same methodology to Jeffrey Epstein. It's a massive story that's probably bigger than anything else out there. Are we going to get to the bottom of what Jeffrey Epstein was and what he was actually doing? And if we're not going to get the data directly from the source, can we infer data? Can we build around it and kind of scrape together a bigger picture based on events, actions, locations, seeing where people are traveling, what overlaps, right? So I have a project called Invisible Inquiry, where you can go and see this data. I'm going to release a couple of products I'm going to tell you about later that visualize these connections, so that way you can see the chain of citations and how everything is connected. So if you think about two nodes, two dots that connect to one another that through a relationship, that is a very simple version of what I'm doing. And then subsequently, you can put millions of those connections together to showcase all kinds of different ways to present data, timelines, maps, all kinds of stuff. So this project is a big data project. It's an investigative research project that rides on the back of many other people who've been doing this really hard work of putting this data together. And I'm compiling it all for you to see.
Well, what's really interesting here is the names that we might see. We got a clip here. Clip two, roll clip two.
Do you believe Netanyahu's involvement with Trump is influencing the decision of the Epstein file release?
I think Israel is influencing the Epstein file release because Israeli intelligence and our own CIA was wrapped up with Epstein. And so it would be embarrassing to our own intelligence agencies as well as Israel's intelligence agencies for all that to come out.
We have a problem with foreign governments, the British.
And that was the clip there. It's pretty interesting that Thomas Massie discusses the Israeli intelligence and the Israeli links, Drew. And so when we're looking at this, what are we finding with this data that you're starting to compute? What are some of the links and interesting ties? I know there's some ties between Trump and the Rothschild banking dynasty, amongst other things, as well as Epstein and Israel and Epstein and the Rothschild banking dynasty. And what are some of the deep cuts we're finding here from this research and these deep dives with AI?
Yeah, so I'm going to take you behind the scenes because this story I'm just starting to process. I think what I've started to discover is already very interesting. But first, I'd like to show you a little bit of an end product so you kind of see where this is going. Well, I'm going to show you the Wuhan lab story that I did really quickly. And so what this is a chain of connection between everything Wuhan lab related that was through a Freedom of Information Act request and otherwise documented through the press. So over here is how it got started, who was behind it. This everything in green is the funding, who was funding it, where the money went to. This is everything that happened in Wuhan lab in China, which is not very much. This is all of the people working on the project. These are all of the experiments that they did and all the diseases that they created at Wuhan lab. And these are all of the other countries that it was operating in, including Ukraine, which Hunter Biden and John Kerry Hines was working on in Ukraine. But, this is a global project that happened through USAID. It was funded. You know, everybody talks about Fauci, but really this had to do a lot with USAID. I mean, Fauci was a small part of this. So it was a military industrial complex, a defense project. We'd love to look at Fauci, but what I discovered was Fauci was just a very small part of the picture, really a scarecrow. So I want to end up there with this story. I'm going to show you a little bit behind the scenes because I'm still processing, also waiting for these documents to come out. I'm going to take you through my process and how this works. I think people would be interested to see, and we'll show some of the results, some of the early results from it. So I'm going to tee up this here.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at these graphs, it's interesting because it tells almost everything you need to know about their connections. It's much like the surveillance system or something similar that you would see the government would have on following citizens throughout their daily routine, social media, amongst other things. It's more of a tool like now we can use this same tool to gather data on people of interest that are involved in the news, such as Jeffrey Epstein. We might be able to tell where he goes, his trends, the people he communicates with, and maybe potentially some of the money and where it's coming from and where it's going, as well as people that might be as well involved with the trafficking aspect and the extortion aspect. There's a lot that could be told by these by the end of this with all this data that we are collecting and being able to put through AI. It's wonderful that AI is giving us this ability here, Drew. It's pretty interesting because a lot of times we poo-poo on AI, but AI is a tool. It can be used for good or evil. And if we can just type in a name or files and just have AI look through a bill or look through the Epstein files and look for something like I asked you earlier, is the Bilderberg Group or Bohemian Grove in these files, you can actually potentially target it and look for specific links between individuals with different organizations. And it brings it all together and it does all the work for you. And it maps it out in a way where you can find out the source, the information, and, you know, potentially what they're involved with. Because a lot of times these stories, or let's say it's a news scrape, will give you details on what these individuals are discussing, whether it's stock market trades, whether it's bank loans for property, whether it's science experiments or donations on different causes. All that information we could pull and scrape the internet for and put into the system, and it will really put it in a perspective where people can have easy access to it and kind of in a library type fashion where it has all the information that you are looking for.
Yeah. And my goal is to create a Palantir for the public that we can face and look the opposite direction. So ultimately, I think we're heading in that direction. I've got a few products coming out, but for right now, I'm going to take you behind the process of the data collection. So I'm going to show you how I put it together really quickly, and then we can go through the data if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. All right. So here, this is like the raw format of it. Like this is disorganized data. These are senders, people who are sending emails in gray and emails, right? So they're like all disconnected, kind of like not really going anywhere. Sometimes there's like one person sending a bunch of emails like this, but there's otherwise a lot of disorganized data, right? But when I put it together, I start, let's do this. Don't save. There we go. When I start bringing other emails in, so these are text messages and emails, you'll notice that there's a lot more connectivity in this data. I can go a little bit further. And I start building more and more chains based on the data hierarchy. So I start bringing in more people and you see the data gets more and more connected. So some of these are emails. So each of these, as an example, is an email exchange between people, or I'm sorry, a text message chain with people and all of the different text messages that are in that chain. So these are all from the House release. And I think this is important to notice because we're going to take a very sharp detour shortly, but this is the House version of the release and all of the stuff that comes out, right? So I continued to organize this into a chain that went in a very specific direction. Let me open up the right file here. Great. And so these on the left are all of the text messages that were released by the House, and everything in here in the middle in the orange is emails that were released by the House. And you can see this goes all the way up from, this is ordered by time. So right here you have 2019 and all the way down here you have 2006. You can see that there's, let me get back to that real quick. Yeah, you can see, and everything in blue here is the person who sent, right? So these are all people who sent emails through this thing. So you can see you can track who's saying what. And in here, I can also search and index who's involved, right? And I think I'm not going to go too far into this stuff because I think what I've found, I'm just going to give you my overall findings. This was put together to hurt Trump. Trump shows up 400 some times. It doesn't really go beyond the US political spectrum. And there's a lot of data scraped, and you can see that we're not even getting text messages. I mean, we have huge gaps here and nothing before 2017. So the House is really doing their best to scrub data. If you go through it, there's even a lot of classified. They're not showing who sent what emails. We're waiting for data. I'm waiting for data to come out for this larger release. And I have a question. Are we going to see it? And I think while I was putting this story together, I found out that there were other Epstein releases. And one of them, which was the most interesting, was this chain of data, which is Ehud Barak. Okay. Ehud Barak is the former prime minister of Israel and 10th prime minister of Israel. And he was corresponding directly with Jeffrey Epstein. Ehud Barak's emails and text messages were leaked to the public. And so this is all of the text messages between just those two people and whoever was CC'd on their correspondences. It starts in ends in 2016 and goes to all the way back to 2013. So we have about 3 years of correspondences. Ehud Barak hired Jeffrey Epstein to work as a political consultant and a business consultant. So we can see all kinds of interesting people show up in here because Epstein, Ehud Barak, wanted to introduce people. So when we look at this House thing, we look for names like the Rothschild, any of the Rothschilds, nothing. We look for names like introductions to people of real power and influence, nothing. We look for real data. We're not finding anything in that initial House release, but this one, as a cross-section of data, is really interesting because we can see that Epstein was working behind the scenes connecting people to Vladimir Putin, connecting people to the Rothschild family, and it's all in these emails here, and I'm going to take you through it bit by bit.
Yeah, it's easy to see it when you have this graph in front of you, and it's easier to dive down into it. And, what were the ties with Israel? People want to know, are there Israeli ties with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, here's the proof. We have the evidence. The question is what to what extent? If you're being a political consultant, is that because he had extortion information on people and he could get things done? And maybe he can negotiate deals and get things done because he had trash on people. Obviously, that was probably the interest of the Clintons as well. They weren't beyond extorting people. I interviewed Larry Nichols on his deathbed, their former bodyguard of the Clintons. And he said, yeah, man, the first thing they did is get extortion information on government employees that they could get promoted to higher positions and they could control. So why wouldn't you want somebody that has all the blackmail information to be a political consultant? That just makes sense, doesn't it, Drew Arnold?
Yeah, and I think it's more than that. I think he was connected in a real way to everything from and everybody. And so I think what's really at play here is two versions of this historical perspective, one of which is a guy who's politically connected, did stuff with women, young ladies, women, I think we know this bigger story. Somehow Trump is involved. But then there's a whole other story, which is what is your political perspective of the world? Is there a secret order of people running things? Are there puppets? Are we being treated to a stage? And I think these particular emails show that that's the case. And I'm going to show you why that's the case. Because I think I'm going to start with Vladimir Putin, and I'm going to type in here real quickly. I pulled him to the side, but we're going to do a search real quick and on Vladimir Putin and see what comes up. I'm having some trouble searching for some reason, but let's go.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin. We had Peter Thiel. There's a couple of people that have come up already. And there's obvious connections here, but I think it's interesting when you dive into these emails, you can get into the specifics of what the correspondence is about. And it's really hard to organize if you're just one person, but AI gives us the ability to access and really dive down at a quick pace, instead of having to read each piece, piece by piece, we can actually search.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great thing about this is you can show timelines. So on the left is Epstein's emails, and the right is the correspondence with Ehud Barak. And so Ehud is asking Jeffrey to introduce him to people like Vladimir Putin. And what you're going to see here is Epstein, and if this is a small bit here, he's talking about someone who's going to go see Putin, right? So there's already like an intermediary that Jeffrey Epstein is working with. Putin asked me in St. Petersburg the same time as his economic conference. I told him no. So, you know, we're sort of breaking down this world order structure that everybody thinks that, you know, Vladimir Putin's this bad guy who's on the other side. These people are operating and working together. These people are doing business deals together. Ehud Barak, the former prime minister of Israel, is being introduced in a business conversation, as a business opportunity to Vladimir Putin. Putin will redo his staff in the summer, bringing only very trusted people closer. More info on phone or face-to-face, right? So there's a lot he's not even saying. You know, we're not seeing a lot in these messages, but we can tell that Epstein is connected to Putin in a real way, right? And in a way where he understands what's going on the inside. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because now he starts introducing Ehud Barak to the Rothschilds, right? And I've pulled to the side here all of these people. Can you do breakfast with Arianne Rothschild in the morning of the 23rd? If you want the Kissinger China guy there, let me know, right? So this is a world global elite being put into place. Like, we're not seeing the details of it because they're not going to talk about these business details through text and email, but we're setting itineraries with very influential people, villains and other countries that are supposed to be adversarial. And here we talk about the island, right? Would you like to come to the island? You know, all of a sudden in 2013, Ehud Barak is getting invitations to go to Jeffrey Epstein's island. I suggest you come to the island. More island stuff here. Pick you up in a helicopter. And then I think we've got more Rothschild. Arianne is in Israel. Feel free to contact directly. So, you know, he's keeping tabs on the Rothschild. He knows where they are. I mean, this person is very, very connected. The Sultan of Brunei, I think it is, are going to St. Petersburg. Again, going to so this is Arianne Rothschild going to St. Petersburg, Russia, not Florida. So, you know, these people are all really well connected. And I think what we see with this kind of data, and I'm going to create a bigger picture out of this where we see how everything is connected. This is just one layer. Ultimately, this is going to come together. We can see more connections. What happened in St. Petersburg? Do we have news reports from that? Do we have third party accounts? Is there investigative journalism? So these are all layers I'm going to pull in over time and in order to build this bigger story. And going back to the Wuhan Labs story that I showed, it can get really intense, and organizing it is very complicated. But I'm building tools right now, and right now what I showed you is not available to the public because it's a third-party platform. I'm building my own platform that will be available in a couple of weeks, hopefully. And so you will be able to see this chain that I'm showing you now for yourself. So if you go to my website, Invisible Inquiry or invisibleinc.com, sign up and you'll get access to it. I'm giving it away for free. It's not. And then I have other digital products that are coming out, a news feed that shows you in real time what's happening around the world, things that you're not seeing in Reddit or even on the internet and social media. So these are all tools that I'm building in order to build a public intelligence data set where we can look the opposite direction and see what's happening with the world.
Well, what we're looking for is transparency in government, which is always them looking for transparency in the local civilians, such as the whole surveillance state that we received after the whole Patriot Act of 9/11. And now we have the opportunity to have some transparency. When we get this data, we can put it into a program like this, and it will organize the data in a way that we will be able to get the most information out. And it's really interesting because we have a couple minutes here yet before you leave us, Drew, and I appreciate you giving us your time. I know you're really busy, but when these Epstein files drop, and if they come out, and if they're not all redacted, right, if they're just one black marker, you see the memes out there of the entire thing being redacted, we will be able to very quickly be able to pinpoint information and data. It isn't like 20 years ago when we had to sift through ClimateGate or any of these other documents that were released, even the Podesta files. Back in the day, it was all done by hand. We had to read each email to look for bizarre quotes and, you know, bizarre conversations. And here we have access to all that information right here with, you know, the Epstein leaks with the House. Now, what I want to know is how does the Epstein files, when they're released, all that extra data, we're going to start to be able to see a full picture of what this individual was involved with, of course, and potential extortion, people that visited the island. Now we know that Yuhud Barak was invited. Did he go? Now that's the next question. And people that went to that island, well, you know, that's Pedo Island. That's where a lot of things happened there in Zorro Ranch, which, by the way, the FBI never raided, which is bizarre to me still to this day that they never raided Zorro Ranch. That came out when I covered the trial as well. But we need to really gather this data. Like, people are fighting for this information to get out there. The Thomas Masseys of the world and the Marjorie Taylor Greens, and they've been very persecuted. They've been character assassinated. Their character has been completely degraded based by, you know, on this Trump administration, creating a division in the Republican Party, which is something we're going to get into with Kristen Megyn Kelly in about 30 minutes or so, which is a very interesting topic as well, Drew. But what are your thoughts on what we're going to see here? We got 2.5 minutes left. Break down what are your plans of what are you planning on doing with the Epstein files once they're released, and where can people find out more about you, Drew?
Yeah, I was going to see if I could have time to pull up the thank you for going to the island email that Ehud Barak sent. Yes, he went to the island.
Yeah, go ahead, pull it up real quick.
It's going to take me longer than 2 minutes, I think, so I'm not going to waste time doing it, but it will be, I will show that on any of the products that I send out. I'll make sure to put a bookmark in that.
So he went to the island and he said he had a great time there, huh?
Yep, and the boys loved him. That's what Epstein said. So we don't know
who the
boys were. I have some curiosity around that. I'd love to know.
It's like those hot dogs getting delivered. I mean, like, I don't know. We don't really know. We just know that he loved the boys or the boys loved him. And I wonder if that means 18 and up, maybe not. It's kind of disgusting and gut-wrenching to talk about. But are all these elitists compromised? And that's the question. And I think that when it comes down to it, everyone has something in their closet. I think there's a book written by a lawyer that says every American commits 3 felonies a day because there's so many laws on the book. So finding extortion information on someone, that's the field that they worked in, Jeffrey Epstein, getting information and data, getting and twisting arms so they could get their way and create puppets, a puppet atmosphere. And like you mentioned, what we're seeing is evidence of the New World Order. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. I know you mentioned you met Alex Jones back in 2006. That's a long time ago, bro, to meet Alex Jones. I first heard of him back in 2007 while I was on Vans Warped Tour. Somebody told me to download the app and talked about Alex Jones. And, I started to learn a little bit more about him. But that being said, Drew, we have just a few moments here left with you. Where can people sign up and hear more from you?
Yeah, go to invisibleinquiry.com, go to invisibleinq.com, or my Twitter, invisibleinq.com. I'm going to be hosting this. We're going to be putting out all kinds of other presentations that are going to be earth-shattering. We'll find out who the boys are, if we can. And otherwise, I think we'll keep our fingers crossed that maybe Congress will come up with something incriminating to the global New World Order, Old World Order, but... I'm not going to give my hopes up.
That being said, Drew Arnold, yep. Thank you for joining us. Once again, we'll be back after these messages. We'll be talking and diving into the Venezuelan drug cartel. I'm Kristan T. Harris. You're listening to The War Room.
Right now on thealexjones.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible ultramethylene blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the Colostrum Plus, the Bovine Colostrum Plus, the Irish Sea Moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the Ultramethylene Blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on methylene blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in methylene blue. When it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, so I run out. I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. This is something. It's just you feel healthier.
Yeah. It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like, you just sort of, it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.